And now a preview of what you'll hear on this week's episode of Walk in the Light podcast. You know what slopping the pigs is?
Feeding the pigs.
Have you ever slopped the pigs?
I've never slopped them.
Okay, I'm from Arkansas, so okay. I know what slopping the pigs is.
What is it?
It's, you know, you get this slop and you just go out and you pour it into these troughs and the pigs come in and they get frenzied. They eat it, right? So he's slopping the pigs. He's feeding them all. It's pretty nasty. I mean, pigs eat anything. So
right.
You just throw anything and everything you can in there, right? All the leftovers, basically.
Yeah,
it goes
into
the slop and you pour it out for the pigs.
They'll eat everything.
Did you know that a pig could devour a human body in 24 hours?
I do now.
All right. Welcome, everybody, once again to our Walk in the Light podcast. I am your host, No Meat, and as usual, I am joined by my handsome fellow co-host.
This is true, Uncle Vito.
I don't know how true it is, but I like to say it. It sounds good.
It does sound good.
And you are kind of handsome
in
an Uncle Vito kind of way.
Exactly.
Although you weren't handsome enough to do a video broadcast.
Well, no, but we're gonna do it next time. I mean that. Ever since The Sopranos, big Italians are in.
Right.
So once that hit,
yeah.
I went to a whole nother level.
Created a genre all for you.
All for me.
So just to fill you guys in, we are planning on moving our podcast into the next generation, which is we've had some requests from some folks to do a video podcast or a video broadcast of our podcast. So we're going to try to do that next time. We're not as technical as some of those fancy podcasts out there, so we're kind of figuring our way, but we intend to do that next time, and we'll start putting those up on YouTube. One of the guys that I was talking with said, that's a great way to really get seen. YouTube, it just expands. So we thought, we've got 100 people listening to us now. I mean, who knows what happens when we go on YouTube?
Well, and my kids say, Facebook is for old people, so maybe we'll put it on. Yeah. We're old enough to be old, so we'll put it on Facebook, too.
Yeah, well, I've actually been sharing it on Facebook, but, Facebook's funny in the way that you share it. When you share a podcast, they can't listen to it from Facebook.
Oh.
So they actually have to click and go there, and, depending on their. So I think that might, it's not as. But if we do a video, then they'd be able to watch it right there.
Right, right.
That'll be kind of cool. So,
all right, sounds good.
So I'm excited about today. I don't know, we meant to get this podcast done last week. And as usual, we got busy and we were going to do it Monday and then it was Tuesday. And then we thought maybe Wednesday. And by the time you knew it was already the end of the week and we were into a new week. But it's something that's kind of been on my heart really ever since last week or the last podcast we did, where we talked about the parable of the lost son. And so the title of today's podcast is The Son Who Stayed Home. The Son Who Stayed Home. And so to shed a little bit of light on that, we're going to be talking about that parable of the lost son today, but from a little bit of a different perspective, because I don't know about you there, Uncle Vito, but when I read that that parable of the prodigal son or the lost son, I usually, I can relate with the guy who went and, spent all his money, right?
Absolutely.
And then, ended up in rock bottom and, he had to crawl back to his pops, so I usually relate from that side of it. But what was interesting was, in talking about it last week, I started kind of looking at it from the perspective of the other son, the one who stayed home. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. We're going to kind of tie it into, just Christian life. And when you've made the decision to become a disciple of Christ and you are out there and going through your everyday life, just the struggles of those temptations of wanting to be pulled away, wanting to go and kind of squander that great wealth that's been given to you through Christ.
Well, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. So
it had nothing to do with money, just what you've been given. I mean, the highest price paid, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I thought, the best way to start this one off is let's dive into the parable again. I know I read it on the last podcast, so if you're a regular listener, buckle in. We're going to read it again, but I am going to give it to you a little bit different this time. I'm going to read from the Message version of the story. I read it this morning before the podcast. I thought it's really good. It puts it in very layman terms, so I like it. So we'll read. This can be found, by the way, if you're following along at home or you want to, you know, read up on it. If you go into Luke chapter 15, the story really starts in verse 11, and so we'll start from there. It says, "Then he said, there was once a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, 'Father, I want right now what's coming to me.' So the father divided the property between them. It wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and left for a distant country. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. After he had gone through all his money, there was a bad famine all through the country, and he began to hurt. He signed on with a citizen there who had assigned him to his fields to slop the pigs." You know what slopping the pigs is? So,
feeding
the
pigs.
Have you ever slopped the pigs?
I've never slopped them.
Okay, I'm from Arkansas, so okay. I know what slopping the pigs is.
What is it?
It's, you know, you get this slop and you just go out and you pour it into these troughs and the pigs come in and they get frenzied. They eat it, right? So he's slopping the pigs. He's feeding them all. It's pretty nasty. I mean, pigs eat anything. So
right.
You just throw anything and everything you can in there, right? All the leftovers, basically.
Yeah,
it goes
yeah,
into the slop and you pour it out for the pigs.
They'll eat everything.
Did you know that a pig could devour a human body in 24 hours?
I do now.
Wait a minute. You actually had the audacity to tell me that you go by the call name Uncle Vito and you didn't know that a pig could devour a body in 24 hours?
I did not know that. So a pig can eat a whole body in
24
hours.
24 hours.
Hours.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a good way to hide a body.
Exactly. I think they even eat the bones. It's pretty crazy.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, sorry, I didn't get out.
No, that's okay. Slop the pig. Yeah. I didn't know. I mean, I've seen people with buckets slopping the pig. I didn't know you actually did it.
Yes.
You've done slopping.
No. I've seen it.
You've seen it.
I've seen
okay,
slopping
right.
the pig.
It sounded like you've done it.
No,
like
I have
dungarees actually. With the bucket.
Well, you know, I do have a pig, so
you
I've
do.
Slopped the pig in the
oh,
sense
I forgot
that
about that. He's got a pig. Tell him about the pig real quick.
Okay, for our listeners, I actually have a potbelly pig. So let me tell you the story of this pig. So we went into the pet store one day, and I'm a bird enthusiast. We have parrots, and we love our birds, and this, pet store, they mainly sell birds, but on this particular day he happened to have these little piglets running around inside this little cage. And you know, I had seen, you know, this was kind of becoming the big thing, you know, these
right.
small little mini micro pigs that, you know, they're like little dogs and you take them around on
yeah.
leashes. And you know, my wife's like, you know, she's a big animal enthusiast, you know, and she's pigs are really smart, you know, this would be a great pet to have. And my daughter, of course, was picking him up. And, yeah, I mean, the thing was small enough, it could literally stand on my cell phone. Okay, that's how big
wow.
this pig was, all right?
I've seen it now, by the way.
Yeah, it couldn't put one paw on my cell phone anymore, right?
Crazy.
But here's the funny story. So the guy at the pet store, he says, oh, yeah, it's a mini pig. You know, it won't get larger than, like, 25 pounds.
Right.
And I'm thinking, okay, I have some dogs. You know, I could deal with a little small pig. Well, guess what?
No.
This thing wasn't a mini pig.
It wasn't a mini pig.
I got taken, okay? I should have probably known by what I paid for it.
Right.
But it was not a mini pig. And Petunia is what we named her. And Petunia is now 150 pounds.
Yes.
And she lives in my home, and she sleeps in my bedroom. They're really smart. I mean, you know, smarter than the dog. She actually go open the door to go outside to go to the bathroom.
I've seen it.
That's how smart she is.
I've seen it done.
It's great. I mean, she's a great animal, but, you know, certainly probably not the best animal when you're living in a, you know, a community with a homeowners association and
right.
neighbors that are like, this is.
And what does the pig eat at your home?
Okay, so we feed the pig grain. That's the standard feed. I've come to learn that the reason why you feed him the grain is because when it gets in the stomach, it expands. So it makes them feel more full
okay.
than they are, because pigs will just keep eating. They're notorious for just eating themselves.
Turns out they would eat me too.
Yeah, literally, they'd eat. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If they were hungry enough, they'd. You know, they might. It might take 2 days for them on you.
But. Yeah, yeah, I agree. I agree.
So we feed the pig vegetables. You know, all different kinds of veggies along with the grain. So I basically have one of the cleanest, most organic pigs on the planet. And it has completely changed my approach
Eating pigs,
yes,
I would imagine.
Yes. Well,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm no meat, so I already am trying to avoid it. But
no meat.
Now it makes it really hard to eat bacon, bro. I'm cursed. I'm cursed.
It's a great pig. I mean, I like the pig. I've touched the pig. I've watched the pig open the door. I don't know why it's in your home, but I've seen it.
Well, it's a great pet. We love her to death. So, yeah. I mean, imagine this guy. He's out here, right? He's blown all his money, and now he's starving, right? There's a famine that hit the land. So he goes to work for this guy, and he's feeding the pigs now. I can imagine, you know, he must have been tempted to maybe even take one of those pigs and butcher it up, right, so he could eat. But let's get back to the story. It says he was so hungry, he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. So I don't know if that means the pigs weren't, you know, I mean, pigs are stingy. When they're eating, you don't want to get in there.
Yeah,
right? They will bite your hand
off.
They
will bite your hand,
seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
But either way, he's not even getting the corn cobs from the pig slop here, and he's starving. It says that brought him to his senses. He said, all those farmhands working for my father sit down to 3 meals a day, and here I am starving to death. I'm going back to my father. I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand. He got up right away and went home to his father. When he was still a long way off, his father saw him, his heart pounding. He ran out, embraced him, and kissed him. The son started his speech, Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again. But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to the servants, quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then get a grain-fed heifer and roast it. We're going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead and now alive, given up for lost and now found. And they began to have a wonderful time. Now, this is the part in the story where the other son comes into play.
But can I point out that the pig was grain-fed?
It was. That's right, and so was the cow that he the grain fed heifer that, you know, that's why I guess that's what they're supposed to eat, right?
That's when
you get the best meat.
Yeah.
So, it says all this time his older son was out in the field. When the day's work was done, he came in, and as he approached the house, he heard music and dancing. Calling over one of the houseboys, he asked what was going on, and he told him, "Your brother came home. Your father has ordered a feast. Barbecued beef, because he has him home safe and sound." The older brother stalked off in an angry sulk and refused to join in. His father came out and tried to talk to him, but he wouldn't listen. The son said, "Look how many years I've stayed here serving you, never giving you one moment of grief. But have you ever thrown a party for me and my friends? Then this son of yours, who has thrown away your money on whores, shows up, and you go out with an all-out feast." His father said, "Son, you don't understand. You're with me all the time, and everything that I have is yours. But this is a wonderful time, and we need to celebrate. This brother of yours was dead, and he's alive. He was lost, and now he's found." So, I mean, I think we can all relate to the son that went out and squandered things, especially in, you know, the Christian life, right? Because unless you were brought up in the church and became a disciple, you know, as a teen and stayed in the church, you're going to have a harder time relating to anyone other than the son who stayed home, right?
Yeah.
Because technically, if you've been brought up in the church and you've always been close, you know, spiritually to your walk with God, then you can relate with the son who stayed home. And that's really what I wanted to talk about today. Because I think for those of us who have, you know, weren't brought up that way, went out, lived, you know, sinful lives, you know, got into all kinds of trouble, and then at some point realized that, you know, hey, God was calling us back, and we came home and, you know, just wanted to serve, and, you know, he put the ring on our finger and, you know, treated us as the sons that we were, right? We can relate to that. We're grateful for that. But what about the son who stayed home? What about your average Christian that grew up in a Christian household, has always been living for Christ, or, you know, has dedicated their life to living for Christ? Can they relate to this story. And I think that they can relate to this other son, this older brother, right?
Right.
Because, you know, and I imagine it can become an attitude of the heart, too, right, with some people in the church, where if you're that person, if you're that son who stayed home all that time, there's two things that can happen. Either one, you can look at the others who went out and, you know, kind of went crazy or whatever, mm-hmm, got involved in sin, and mm-hmm, then they came back, and you can be bitter towards them a little bit because, you know, you've been serving the whole time. You know, you're like, right, this son who stayed home. You're like, I was just out working in the field. You guys didn't even tell me that there was a feast going on. Like, well, what's going on?
That's a great point. I haven't thought about that. Yeah. I mean, you guys couldn't have came and got me?
Right, right. You couldn't have sent the, what was it they called him? The
houseboy.
The houseboy.
It sounded kind of bad.
Yeah, I like, I don't know. Houseboy. This is the message version.
I never heard houseboy before, but go ahead. I got you.
I've been a houseboy every now and again, you know.
I was a houseboy this morning. I do the dishes every single morning.
Right.
My son calls me dish boy.
Right.
While I'm doing dishes.
And then you, even though you're a houseboy, you are the head houseboy, because then you call to your other houseboys to clean the mailbox.
Which they didn't do.
They didn't do.
Yeah. While you were reading that, what kind of came to me was, because I was trying to close my eyes and take it in, when he left his father's home, he ended up in another land where there was a drought.
Right.
Right? And I can compare that to when you're under the covering of your father, Jesus Christ, God, and you're living that life every single day,
mm-hmm,
you have peace.
Mm.
You have joy.
Right.
But when you spiritually start stepping away and not fellowshipping with them, what happens is you end up in a dry place.
Yeah.
You end up in a famine spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that's, you know, that's kind of what I got out of that. You know, if you want to leave the covering of the blood, if you want to leave the covering of the relationship with Christ, you're going to end up in a drought.
Right, right. And it always seems to happen that way too. I mean, especially for those of us, if you're listening out there, I know you can relate, where when you start going down the wrong path, it seems like everything bad starts happening, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just it's like a perfect storm. Sometimes.
Well, the prodigal son, in like the way I'm looking at it, is the prodigal son is a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
He's under the father's covering, the blood.
Sure.
He's a Christian, and then he strays away, mm-hmm, from what he knows. He strays away from the word and spending time with God. And yeah, that's, you know,
it's a recipe for disaster.
It's where you end up. You end up at a point where you're just like, I have my father, almost, I remember, you know, it's funny because I met No Meat because of my brother, actually.
Yeah.
Because I was in Georgia and I just had a hard time making a good living in Georgia. And my brother always found a way to make money. And I remember I was working a warehouse job and I said, what am I doing? Almost like this guy right here.
Right.
I said, what am I doing? I said, my brother's like Donald Trump in Florida making money.
Right.
Let me go try that.
Right.
You know?
Right. Let me just bring him coffee every day.
Right. Like, let me go try that because this ain't working.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
And that's what that guy did in that pig slop.
Yeah.
He was just like, what am I doing, man?
Yeah.
You know, I gotta go back. But listen, I get the point of the son that stayed home. I mean, you know, you brought up, I never would have thought of that. You know, you guys couldn't even came and got me. You're having a party.
Yeah.
There's dancing, there's singing. Like,
well, so I think there's two facets to that. Like I said, he gets bitter, right? He gets a little bitter because he's been home. He's been working for the father, putting in the work. But what he forgot and what the father reminds him, right, is the key there. The father reminds him, you know, yeah, but you've been here. Everything I have is yours. You know, you've been able to live in as royalty, basically. I mean, this guy, I mean, the assumption here is this guy's fairly wealthy. He has lands, he has cattle, he's, you know, he has servants.
Houseboys.
Yeah, he's living well, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so the son that stayed home, yeah, he's had to put in the work to help, you know, get things. But the thing that's happened here is it's all perspective that's been changed, right?
Right.
Because the perspective of the son who stayed home is that, well, why haven't I had a party thrown? And the father reminds him, like, you have a party every day. Mm-hmm. Every day you have a party because you get to enjoy all of these things,
right, right,
that your brother has not had,
right,
because,
right,
he,
right,
went and squandered it and, you know, in living. And I think the other thing that can happen here, and I think this is an important point for us to bring up, the second point to, you know, the, being the son who stayed home is that feeling of enticement, of wanting to be the other son, wanting to go out and squander. It's kind of like, you know, you think about, well, if I'm just going to get accepted back, if he's just going to accept me back, mm-hmm. well, mm-hmm. why shouldn't I go out there and have all that fun, mm-hmm. you know? And the lesson in this is that the son who stayed home doesn't know the heartache that the son who left and squandered mm-hmm. everything has felt.
Well, what
he's only yeah. seeing, oh, well, he went out and enjoyed himself,
yeah.
but he doesn't see, wow, there was a point at which he was going to eat pig's food. I mean, that's how low right. he got.
Right. Well, the son who stayed home, I think he forgets that when he comes back from the field, there's a hot bath drawn
right,
for him.
Right,
you know, like right. and there's going to be food on the table for him.
Absolutely.
And not, you know, he's shucking corn, you know, coming back from the field. Right. I mean, you know, so those type of things.
And that's really what I want to talk about next. It's a good segue into, you know, this next section, which is, you know, look, one of the things that we have to be careful of when we are the son who stayed home is the devil's schemes, right? Because like we said, it's perspective. You know, it's easy to be grateful when you get hurt to the extent that all you want is relief. Does that make sense? Should I say that again?
Say that again.
It's easy to be grateful when you've been hurt to such an extent that all you want is relief. So, you know, you're in so much pain. You're like this guy, like the prodigal son. You're in so much hunger that you just want to eat with the pigs, man. When that happens, when you hit rock bottom, I feel like it's easier to be grateful sometimes than when you had all along, when it's been given to you all along. Some of us become ungrateful over time. And that comes according to, you know, look, God knows what we can handle, right? We're going to read a scripture that talks about that, but I think that's the key. One of the things I think about with this story is that the son who stayed home, he didn't recognize that he was almost like royalty. Like he didn't see from the perspective of the son who had been away, who had been so hungry that he was going to eat with pigs, right? And we forget sometimes, you know, there's a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. A royal priesthood. I want you to think about that for a second. What do you think of when you think of royal priesthood?
I think of Prince William and Prince Harry.
Right. I think of, like, you know, the great, you know, some of those great bishops and the, you know, that were higher up in the I think of Catholic Church when I think of priesthood, because, you know, generally I think priest, I think Catholic, but I think some of these guys who were, you know, they were almost like the minister to the king,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they enjoyed much of the same
spoils.
Splendor
yeah.
and spoils of the king. They
sure.
lived in the castle. They
sure.
You know, they wore brilliant robes. They, you know, like you said, they woke up in the morning or after a day's work, they had a hot bath drawn for them. They wanted something to eat. They would call the servant. The servant would bring them food. And I'm sure it was good food. It was choice food.
Mm-hmm.
We forget, I think, sometimes we forget the scripture. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood.
Right.
I mean, I think we sometimes forget that because we get drowned out by our life worries, right?
Mm-hmm.
By life's difficulties. And so we don't see it from a spiritual perspective, mm-hmm. that we're part of God's house. I mean, I want you to think for a second. If you could see with spiritual eyes right now, not in human eyes. I mean, we look around right now, we see an office, right? We see out the window, there's cars in the parking lot, some people walking by. And we see some grass. But if we could see in spiritual eyes, you know, and knowing that we are God's children, wouldn't we already be in splendor? I mean, imagine what's around us now in spiritual eyes. If you could see through spiritual eyes, we're already in a castle.
Mm-hmm.
And the king is God. And you know, we are his people. We are part of that royalty. But we don't see it oftentimes that way because our human eyes see the bad things we're going through. The fact that I got a car that's got a wheel that's about to fall off.
Yeah, exactly. Taxes.
Right. Bills that are sitting piled up. We see it through those eyes, those human eyes, yeah. Right? And so I think, part of that temptation when you are the son who stayed home, when you're that devout Christian that's there, you're doing it, you're doing your work. It's easy to forget that, hey, you know what? I need to see it through a set of spiritual eyes. Mm-hmm. I need to see the castle that surrounds me. I mean, there are parts where, Jesus talked about to his disciples about how glorious heaven would be. I don't think we could even imagine it. I mean, you're the one who put me onto the book. What's the name of the book that you were telling me about, the guy that saw heaven?
Jesse Duplantis. Yeah, yeah, it's called Heaven. Yeah.
Right, Heaven. I mean, and he describes just an indescribable place, right?
Changed my life.
Well, so I think that's part of the key. When you are the son that's staying home, when you are that person that's in the fight every day, mm-hmm. you got to remember to open your spiritual eyes and see the castle around
you. Well, to go back to what you were saying earlier, I think you gain strength in weakness, right?
Yeah.
Meaning that, Jesus could have dropped out of heaven and been a 30-year-old testosterone, virile man. But instead, he was born a baby in weakness, right?
Yeah.
And that's the reason why they didn't accept him, because everything he did was in weakness.
Right.
He went to the cross in weakness.
Yeah. I think it's important for us to remember that if Jesus was tempted and tested, we're going to have the same situation happen to us. We're not going to be without temptation. And I see... If I could put myself for just a minute into the shoes of this son who stayed home, I'm coming out of the field. I'm hot. I'm sweaty. I just put in a full day's work. And, man, I'm tired. I'm ready to go have one of those servants cook me up some food, right? Mm-hmm. And then I see, my brother's home. The one who got all his money, went off and blew it. And he's being, heralded by my father, who is excited to see him again. And I'm like, I get tempted all the time. Maybe I should just go blow my money and have a little fun.
Right.
And I think that that's an important thing for us to point out for Christians is that, we all know it in theory, but I think we get surprised when it happens. We know in theory that Satan is going to come after us, but we still almost get shocked nonetheless when the temptations come.
Well, listen, the Father represents God the Father, right?
Mm-hmm.
And God the Father gives us agape love, mm-hmm. which is, I get up from this chair, I punch you in the face, no meat, and then I spit on you, mm-hmm. and you still love me.
Yeah.
And that's what the Father is saying. You got to understand, I love him regardless.
Yeah.
I love him in spite of.
Yeah.
I love him, no matter what he's done to me, to you, to us, to the family, whatever the case may be, I still love him.
What can we say, though, to people out there who are in the faith, who've been in the faith for a long time, and are feeling really tempted right now, who are feeling like the son who stayed home, and feeling like they're missing out on something because there's some sin out there or some level of sin that they feel like they just want to go do it, a little bit, and then they'll come back. You know what I'm saying? I have those thoughts. I'm sure you've had those thoughts. Well, if he's going to forgive me, why can't I just, I'll just enjoy this and then, I'll ask for forgiveness later. Yeah, I hate to put it that way, but that's the thoughts that come across. So what do we say? When you have those thoughts, how do you combat them? What are the things that come across your mind that...
Well, where I'm at right now, because, that's all I can talk about is right now, mm-hmm. is I've been saying, Lord, I want signs and wonders in my life through your power, not for any of my glory or anyone to look at me any different. But I want to start seeing signs and wonders. When I first got born again, there were signs and wonders in my life.
Mm.
Things happened that were supernatural,
right?
That cannot be explained. And because of that, I have these great stories whether you want to believe them or not, I know they're real.
Wow.
And they happen to me.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to kind of tell myself. So
you're just kind of praying for a sign almost. That's what you would do is just ask God.
I was living as clean as I possibly could live.
Right.
At that time. Mm-hmm. That's all I could tell you. And there was the happiest times in my life too.
Right.
And yes, you know, there was always temptations, but I was so happy in love, right? That with the Lord, that nothing else mattered. And you know, it's hard to get back there, right? You know, when you're in a 20-year marriage, you know, you're never going to get back to the mm-hmm. moment you were.
Right.
But if you work at it, you can get pretty darn close.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so that's where, you know, that's where I'm trying to tell myself that I don't want temptation or sin to be in my life or rule any part of my life, because I want the signs back. I want the miracles back. I want the wonders. I want to change people's lives through the power of Jesus Christ. And the way to do that is to be an empty vessel.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
That's my that's for me.
No, it's great.
I
think that'll help some people out there.
Yeah,
I think of you know, we can relate. But when we talk about, you know, that desire to want to go off and, you know, and blow your riches, I mean, we can all relate to that. I think the key is we have to remind ourselves constantly that there is only temporary joy in those things.
Yeah.
And it's an empty joy. It's usually one that's followed by just a overwhelming feeling of, you know, I'm stupid. Why did I? You know, and I'm talking to the people right now. Maybe they're thinking about drugs. You know,
yeah.
Maybe they're thinking about women. Maybe they're thinking about, you know, money or financial gain. If they just break this law, they can have this money, and that will just relieve so many pressures. You have to remind yourself that it is a temporary gain, and you are giving Satan the access that he needs to pull you away. There are many scriptures in the Bible that talk about being careful, because Satan is crafty. He will pull you away. He will whisper in your ear, and the next thing you know, he will snatch you away like a wolf. Mm-hmm. And I think this scripture comes to mind, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." You got something?
Yeah, no, I wrote this down before we got started on this. You know, when Nomi went through a situation in his life, I remember him telling me the first thing he said was, "I want to talk to the guy that baptized me."
Mm-hmm.
I want it, you know, which probably was your spiritual leader in your life, right? Mm-hmm. He, for some reason, you knew that guy
right.
stayed home.
Yeah.
You knew that he was still with Christ.
Right.
And if you didn't, you believed it.
Right, right.
And that guy is the son who stayed home.
Yeah.
Who's still walking.
Wow, it's true.
Who's still following.
Yeah.
Who's, you know, still
fighting every day.
Tilling the land and all those type of things. I mean, I was listening to a preacher recently and he was talking about how, you know, many, many, many times a year, he has to call a parent that their child just got killed in a car accident or just died of cancer.
Mm.
You know, and he goes, "I don't know what to say."
Right.
"What do I say?" You know, like, I don't. You know.
Yeah.
This is what this your spiritual leader has been putting up with for 20 years.
Right.
You know, everyone thinks it's easy to be a spiritual leader. You take on those burdens.
Sure. Sure.
You know, and that's the burden of being the child left behind. But the thing is, though, is the child that stayed behind, the son that stayed behind, he's going to have people in heaven walking up, shaking his hand
mm-hmm.
for all eternity.
Yeah.
Because he impacted so many people.
Absolutely.
You know?
So true. Well, and I think about this scripture, it says he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. I think it's important to remember when we are, you know, in that battle of you know, being enticed away, that there is always a way out. We just have to look for it. Sometimes we've got to look for it, you know, in calling a good friend, you know, a good spiritual friend to help us to see it, you know, because sometimes we just can't see it. sometimes we're just so pulled in by, you know, temptation that we can't see the way out. But others can see it, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I want to encourage anyone out there listening today. If you are in a situation where you've been following in the faith, but you are just feeling battle tested and you are feeling enticed, you know, don't forget that there's a way out. There is, you know, something that God wants you to look towards. He wants you to do. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's fasting. Maybe it's a friend. It's a conversation. Maybe it's just turning away. Maybe it's reading your Bible. I mean, there are just so many things, but there's always a way out. You do not have to give in. And it's like you just said. I mean, I think at the end of our lives, we all want to be that person that can say, I feel good about what I did. And so yeah. You have to be forward thinking and looking at it and going, you know what? Yeah, I could be that. I could be like the other son. I could be like my younger brother and take my inheritance and go out and squander it. But you know what? What are the chances that I don't get the opportunity to come back? You know, I mean, that son that went away, the prodigal son, he could have gotten killed. He could have died in famine. He could have never made it back to the father, right?
Back then, I mean, who knows how far he was away? I mean,
he may not have ever made that trip. He could have, you know, he could have eaten something bad, right? Because he was so hungry. He could have eaten something bad that ended up killing him. I mean, that's the key, is that you have to remember that temptation to want to flirt with the other side is nothing more than a recipe for disaster. Don't believe the lies. Don't listen to Satan when he sits on your shoulder and whispers and tells you, oh, you know, you could be like that other son. Come out and, you know, spend a little bit of your money, you know? Don't believe it, because it really, I mean, I can speak from personal experience. I've been there. It's a heartache. And, you know, the interesting thing is the father understood that perspective, right? That's why he celebrated the son coming home.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't easy either for that son to humble out and go, you know what? I'm stupid. I just need to go back to my father and just ask him if I can be a servant, because I don't deserve to be a son anymore. That's hard. I mean, I don't know if you've ever had a falling out with your family, but sometimes it's hard when you're the one who was wrong to come back and be like, you know what, I was wrong, and you know, I need you to forgive me, because I just you know, I shouldn't have done that. I was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to do. Yeah. And, you know, it's important that we have that perspective. I got one last thing I wanted to throw in here to the discussion. And again, you know, we're talking about, this is for the people that, you know, have stayed faithful, that have hung in there, that, you know, that sometimes, you know, are having a rough time wanting to go out. So Jesus tells this parable in Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 4. It says, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A father went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked out the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil. When it came up, it yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. When he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. His disciples asked what the parable meant. Of course, the disciples didn't get it. I probably wouldn't have gotten it either.
I wouldn't have got it either.
He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seeds that fell amongst the thorns stand for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked out by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. That is the most important thing I think we have to remember when we are the son who stayed home, is that we want to be a good crop. We want to produce a good crop. The seed has been sown within us, And, you know, we don't want to be that seed. Obviously, we're not the seed along the path because we've already believed and been saved. But mm-hmm. we don't want to be the seed that's sown in rocky ground, where we received it with joy, but then after a time of testing, we fall away. And we certainly don't want to be the seed that falls along the thorns that gets choked out by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. I think both of those are applicable to the son who stayed home. Both of those can be the son who stayed home if you're not aware of it.
You know, recently someone explained to me about why he spoke in parables is because it's almost kind of like when he was out on the water and he told Peter to come, you know, step out on the water and come to me. He spoke in parables because he wants you to chase him. Mm. He wants you to dive into the word.
Yeah.
And he wants you to get it, you know, spiritual enlightenment, understanding through the Holy Spirit, which is, you know, three in one, so that you can get to know me more and I will explain it to you. If everything was kindergarten, if he broke everything down to you like he just did,
right.
Hey, let me tell you what the parable meant.
Right.
One was on thorny thorn, one was going to, then you wouldn't have to get to know him.
Absolutely.
It would all be right there.
Absolutely.
And, you know, here I am 47 years old, and I just learned that like 3 months ago.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and why did I learn that 3 months ago? Because I'm chasing him.
Right, yeah.
Because I'm trying to be in the Word more. I'm trying to learn more. I'm trying to learn from other people what they've spent a lifetime trying to gain,
right,
of wisdom. And I got a lot of making up to do, you know.
Yeah.
But I get it. Did I ever tell the story of Roxanne at my high school?
No.
I didn't tell that story.
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
No, I don't believe so.
So when I was writing this down about the son that stayed behind, I thought about there was one time in my life that I felt like a Christian before I was a Christian.
Hmm.
And my mom's neighborhood that I lived in was a pretty nice neighborhood, but at the end of the road was Highway 29 in Georgia, and right across the street there was one of those homes that you thought should be tore down, but it wasn't. You know what I'm talking about? It was you know,
falling apart
the whole nine yards. And a girl lived in there. Her name was Roxanne, and I would watch her get off the bus or get on the bus and walk up there. And she was not, you know, she was overweight, her clothes were not kept, probably, you know, didn't have the best hygiene in the world. And she was in my class one day, the teacher left, and all the kids started jumping on her, you know. Mm. You know, you're this, you're that, da 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 da. And I guess I just had enough, and right. I stood up and I said, listen, guys, the next one that says something, I'm knocking you out. And no one stood up. Thank God, you know. But I was ready. I was ready.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know if I was in 9th or 10th grade. I can't remember. But I remember I was walking up to go to my senior pictures, and Roxanne and her mom were sitting there as I walked by, and she goes, "That's him, Mom."
Hmm. Wow.
That's him.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the things that we do when we stay home can impact people in ways that we don't see.
I stayed home for that girl.
Yeah.
You know, I was willing to sacrifice my popularity,
mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, getting into a fight, whatever the case may be. I mean, I wasn't looked at as anything in high school.
Yeah.
You wasn't considered a hero for doing something like that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You were stupid for doing something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you change people's lives and you don't even realize it because you chose to live under your Father's house,
yeah.
The kingdom of God.
Yeah,
you know, living for Christ every day. And when you get there, I don't know how to say this, but there's like a threshold.
Mm-hmm.
When you're chasing after Jesus, you break through some kind of a spiritual threshold. And there's just peace on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing that can describe it.
All right.
There's no words that could, you know,
mm-hmm.
be put into it. I don't know how to explain it. There's just some kind of a threshold that you cross over when you're so dedicated to the Lord and you're just trying your everything you have and you just fall into this peace of every single day. I just... I have peace beyond all understanding.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's the comfort of the Father's home, I think. You know? I mean, maybe that's the best way to describe it. It's, you know, you're in the home, you're kicking back, you're on that couch, the servants bring you down, you're like,
yeah.
It's just that peace that can only come from,
yeah.
And it's also the appreciation of knowing that you're in the protection of his home, you know, and in his love. I think that's, you know, when you're in the Father's love, there's just a feeling that there's not a whole lot of other things that matter. You know, that mm-hmm. that Matthew 6, you know, do not worry, comes forward, you know, strong. You just feel protected. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that story was a perfect way to end this session of our Walk in the Light podcast. I really hope that all of you enjoyed it. I hope that if you are a son or daughter who stayed home, that some of the stories that we've shared, some of the insight that we've talked about, has reminded you of why you need to continue to stay home and don't listen to the enticing words of the dark one who wants to draw you away into a far land so he can bring about a famine and completely destroy you. Continue to stay in the home with your Father and you will be blessed beyond measure. And I think, you know, I think
kill, steal, and destroy, right?
You know, I think about Roxanne. I mean, you know, who knows where she is today, but mm-hmm. I'm sure there's probably a fond memory of somebody who stood up and did what was right. And hopefully that helped her to feel the love of the Father. And maybe, who knows, maybe even drove her to choose to follow Christ herself. Yeah. So that's an amazing story. Well, we love you guys. We thank you so much for listening. We'll be back again next week with another episode. As usual, we ask if you like the podcast, please, you know, feel free to share it with others. We really want to get the word out. And we hope that this has been a help for everyone. Thank you so much. And as always, to God be the glory.